going back once again to the way we open Seder Taras, with three major areas, the study of Avos Hatuma, and the study of Kabbalah Hatuma, and the study of sometimes the opportunity one has to achieve Tahara from Tuma, Maseches Mikvos definitely belongs squarely in the third area. The process of Tahara from Tuma, when it's available, when it's possible to remove Tuma from a person or from a kli, almost invariably involves a mikveh. Sometimes a mikveh is not enough. Usually there are steps that follow afterward, after a tefillah b'mikveh, to achieve full tahara. But almost invariably, mikveh is one of the central elements, if not the central element, of the process of achieving tahara. And it's rooted in many psukim in Chumash that speak about v'rochatz is b'sar b'moyim, the things of that sort. V'chibes is b'gadav b'moyim, which typically Chazal understand that doesn't mean taking a shower with soap and shampoo. That's not what v'rochatz is called b'sar b'moyim means. V'chibes is b'gadav b'moyim typically does not refer to doing the laundry. These refer to instead immersing one's body or one's clothes. Clothes as an example of a particular example of kelim in a mikveh. The mayim that's referred to in those contexts typically is a mikveh, as Unklus points out. The focus of Maseches Mikvos is on the mikveh itself, not so much the act of tevila, but what makes a kosher mikveh. It's the primary focus of Maseches Mikvos, rooted in a pasuk, one pasuk at the end of Parsha Shmini. Ach mayanu bor mikvei mayim yet tahor. A spring, a mayan, it's water that emerges from the ground, or bor mikvei mayim, a gathering of water. Mikveh literally is a gathering, like yikavu hamayim in Parshas Bereishis. When the water gathers together in a bor, in a pit in the ground, yet tahor. It is tahor, and it can share tahar, create tahara in the adam or the kli that immerses in it. So some of the major questions that revolve around what makes a kosher mikveh. So one point is how much? How large does it have to be? And that's a halacha Moshe Sinai, that at least for tevilas adam, for a person to be tovel, we require mem sa'ah, 40 sa'ah. That's the equivalent of 3 cubic amos, 1 amma by 1 amma by 3 amos, which is about the size that an average-sized human being would need to immerse in a mikveh standing up, for instance. So that's the shear of mem sa'ah, is the amount of water that you need. The position of the water is a second point, and it has to be a mayim bikarka, not mayim bikli. It has to be water that's in the ground. If you have a bathtub, you have a bathtub that's full of water, even if it has way more than mem sa'ah, that is absolutely not kosher. It has to be mayim shebekarka. As a matter of fact, that's the way the Masechta opens. The Masechta does not open with the actual din of mikveh. The Masechta opens with the more basic din. The Masechta talks about six levels of mikvos. Most of those levels are not mikveh in the sense that that we would think of it. Most of those are just a more sort of more basic idea that water in the ground, even if it doesn't fulfill all the rules of mikveh, but water in the ground is not susceptible to tumah. So that's a sort of a basic notion of mayim shebekarka. And if it fits all the rules, so then it's not only mayim shebekarka that won't become tumah, but it's actually a mikveh. So again, one rule of mikvahs is definitely there has to be bekarka. It cannot be in a kli, it cannot be in a bathtub or in a vat or anything like that. It has to be water in the ground or water into something else that was constructed. You built a hole and, you know, you dug a hole and you tiled it. So that's definitely considered to be mayim shebekarka. As we said before, the amount, the shear, is 40 sa'ah, certainly for tefilas adam. For kelim, for tefilas kelim, it's a further discussion to what extent is the shear of mem sa'ah doraisa or drabanan. Halacha lamaisa, we do require a shear of mem sa'ah, 40 sa'ah, of 3 cubic amos, both for adam and for kelim, but more on that in a moment. Issue number three is it has to be water. It cannot be other liquids. This is not just like a Willy Wonka question, like what if there's a pool of melted chocolate or something like that, or there's an enormous pool of orange juice, and I want to jump into that. Those are sort of the more obviously not Mayim. This comes up more subtly in the discussion of Shinui Mara. Let's say it's discolored water because I mixed in some other liquids in with the water. Some of those who've learned Maseches Makos may remember the discussion in the first parak about you have a mixture of water and wine, a mixture of milk and water. So at what point do you say there's so much of the other liquid that's discoloring and this is no longer considered to be water anymore? Okay. And a very big criteria, a very significant criterion, criteria number four, in addition to the position bekarka, the amount mem sa'ah, and the substance itself is mayim, the mayim that looks like mayim. But a major consideration is where did the water come from? Where did the water come from? Going back to the pasuk with which we open, Ach mayano bor mikvei mayim yet tahar. The Torah speaks about spring water, mayan, that's groundwater that's coming up, and mikvei mayim is gathered water. So the Mishnayos and Gemaras explain to us that there are two major sources. There's an important sugya Maseches Nedarim about this, based on Mishnayos in our Masechta, that there are two major sources that are possible for qualifying water for a mikveh. The first is Mei Geshamim, is rainwater, water that comes down from the sky, and the second is Mei Mayanos, spring water. I mean, water that's naturally emerging from the ground. Groundwater. Now the difference is as follows. The Torah didn't say anything about rainwater. Right? The Torah said two things. It said a mayon and a mikveh. It said either you have a spring or you have a mikveh, which again means gathered water. So the Tanaim explained to us that if you have rainwater, if you have rainwater, so that can be kosher if it's that's what a mikveh typically is. A rainwater has to be be'eshboren, has to be, so to speak, in a crack in the ground. Another has to be stationary. It has to be a mikveh. You remember that word mikveh means gathered water. So the water either needs to be stationary, needs to be a mikveh. If it's rainwater, needs to be a mikveh, or it could be a mayan, or it could be spring water. If it's spring water, it doesn't need to be stationary. It can be zochalin. It can be water in motion. So that's why, in order to qualify as a mikveh, you have to have one of those. You got to have one of those two conditions. If it's Mei Geshamim, it has to be stationary. It cannot be Zochlin. If it's spring water, it can be Zochlin. What this means practically, most of there are mikvahs that are built around natural springs. You got to get the right piece of land that has those natural springs. The vast majority of mikvahs are built using rainwater, and that water needs to be stationary. If there are cracks or letting that water run, if there's water in motion and it's rain, it's not kosher. So what that means, the Gemara Nedarim points out, based on Mishnayos and our Masechta, there's a big difference between a lake and a river. If you have a lake in which the water is indeed stationary, sometimes lakes have a lot of runoff, but if the water really is stationary, a pond is going to be a kosher mikveh, regardless of whether the primary source of the water is rainwater or spring water, groundwater. You have a river that's in motion. So the Gemara tells us in the Nedarim, based on Mishnayos and our Masechta, that a river is only kosher if it's mostly notfin, if it's mostly Mei Geshamim, excuse me, if it's mostly Mei Mayan. If you have a river that's fed mostly by groundwater, so then groundwater can be moving. If it's fed mostly by rainwater, then it has to be stationary. Obviously, rivers aren't stationary. As a matter of fact, the Gemara Nedarim points out that it can vary by the season. There can be rivers which in the summer months will be kosher, in the winter, in the rainy season will be pasul, because you have rivers which in the summer they go down a lot and they're being fed primarily by spring water, while in the wintertime you still have that spring water, but you have all the additional rain. Remember, in Eretz Yisrael it rains mostly in the winter, or maybe in the spring you have hafshar shlagim. You have the melting snow caps, and that's the equivalent, obviously, of rainwater. So if during certain seasons the water level of the river rises significantly, and the rove of the water is notvim, rove of the water is rain or snow, then it has to be stationary. When rove of the water is spring water, then it's even kosher if it's moving. So again, it needs to be mayim bekarka. It needs to have, you need a shear, typically starting with a mikveh, you need a shear of at least mem sa'ah. It needs to be actual water as opposed to shinu mara or other such issues. The liquid has to be water. And finally, the source of it needs to be either me geshamim or me mayanos. As we mentioned, there are some differences between me geshamim and me mayanos. The difference that we mentioned is whether there's a requirement that it be stationary. Rainwater, melted snow has to be stationary. Spring water does not. There are a number of other differences as well beyond the scope of 15-minute fundamentals. I think it can be shared in a different context. There looks like there's probably a major machlokas Ashkenazi Rishonim versus Sfardi Rishonim Rabbeinu Simcha on perhaps six different details in Hilchos Mikvos. To what extent do Mikveh and Mayan really function separately, or are they basically two flavors of the same item? Maybe we can share the details of that Chakir with Tixnav Kaminas in some other context. We also mentioned in terms of Mayan versus Mikveh, there are a handful of situations where we actually require May Mayan. In Ler Maseches Pari, we mentioned the Mei Paraduma needs to be Mayim Chaim, has to be spring water. And for specifically for the Zav, as opposed to other Temeim, the Zav, the Torah tells us, needs to Tova, particularly in Mayim Chaim. One final din, which is perhaps the, in certain ways, the most significant and the most practically relevant. We spoke about a number of dinim d'oraisa, the shear of the water and the fact that it has to qualify as water as opposed to some other liquid. And again, the fact that it needs to either be spring water, whether moving or not, or rain water, but specifically stationary. And it has to be mayim bekarka. It has to be in the soil. That's, in a sense, the most fundamental din of mikvahs, going back to the very first Mishnah. Now, that idea of mayim bekarka has an extension, which is, how did the water get there? How did the water get there? So the following din is likely at least partially min haTorah, though it may be in part midrabanan. The way the water got from the rain clouds to the ground, or from the spring to the present, location in the ground, it cannot have been transported there al yedei kli. You cannot have, the water cannot have been contained in a kli in between falling from the sky or emerging from the ground and getting to where you are being tovel. If the water was in a kli, was contained in a kli, even if it's, we said before, if it's presently mayim bekli, to jump into a bathtub, that's for sure no good min haTorah. Possibly an extension of that is, even if at one point in the past it was in a kli, it will often not be kosher. That's what we call mayim she'uvim. Shin Aleph Vav Beis Sha'uv U'sha'avtem Mayim B'sason, to draw water is to be Sho'ev. So if the water was, if someone was Sho'ev this water, if the water were Sh'uvim, they were drawn, if they were contained in a Kli at some point, Mayim Sh'uvim, you cannot build a mikveh with Mayim Sh'uvim. And that's a very significant din. Were it not for the din of Sh'uvim, it would be very, very easy to build a mikveh. You could just pipe it in, collect the rainwater, and pipe it in. Or in most cases, just turn on the tap. Ultimately, tap water typically got started as rainwater and it fell into a reservoir, and then it went through the plumbing and it comes out of the faucet. The reason why you can't just turn on the faucet and fill your mikveh the way you fill your swimming pool is because that would be mayim she'uvim, because it was in containers, it was in pipes that count as kelim, and it was in tanks, and so on and so forth. And that's why construction of a mikveh requires figuring out how you're going to gather rainwater on the, redirect the rainwater that falls on the roof into a spot in the ground of the ground level of the mikveh that's going to hold that water without it being contained in any type in the sort of piping that will qualify as a kli that would make it mayim she'uvim. That's a very significant din. Now, the Gemara, the Mishnah, and the Amram tell us that unlike the other psulim, what's unique about sha'uv, is that once you have your core mikveh, you can add she'uvim. He said that the minimum size of a mikveh is 40 sa'ah, so the initial 40 sa'ah cannot be she'uvim. Once you have your 40 sa'ah of kosher megshamim, then you can add as much she'uvim as you like. So in principle, the way you could build a mikveh is dig a hole in the ground, wait for it to fill up with 40 sa'ah of rainwater, and then, you know, add as much tap water as you want. Practically speaking, we do not do that because for hygienic reasons, you want to be able to change the water that people are being told in a very regular basis. Even, you know, even before the era of COVID, we were all interested in good hygiene. So practically speaking, the way it works, the detail of this would require you to open a Mishnayos Mikvos, which I certainly recommend. But the way it works in the vast majority of mikvos is that there are parallel boros. There's a bor of megashamim, and then there's a bor tevila. There's one hole in the ground that you typically don't see. That's where the rainwater actually connects. And that's connected through a thin hole, a thin tube, or sometimes a series of thin tubes, to the bor tevila. Ah. And the DJ is showing us a picture of what that could look like. So you have side by side. There are different ways to construct it. Sometimes we try to use multiple techniques to connect the bor tevila and the bor of Mei Geshamim. But typically on one side, you're going to have the bor of Mei Geshamim, and that's only going to be changed occasionally. That actually is holding rainwater. And that's narrowly connected to the bar of Mei Geshamim. That bar of Mei Geshamim is the bar Tevila, where people actually tovel and Kim actually tovel. That can be changed on a regular basis. You might fill it with the tap water and then connect it to the bar of Mei Geshamim, and that will transform the tap water. When you already have 40 sa'ah of rainwater, that will transform the connected tap water into kosher. Into a kosher mikveh as well. It loses its status of she'uvim when it attaches to the pre-existing 40 sa'ah of kosher megishamim. There is much more complexity. In the world of mikvahs, don't build a mikveh in your backyard based on the last 15, 20 minutes or so. But this lays out some of the fundamental principles that undergird Maseches Mikvahs and Hilchos Mikvahs.